image becomes extremely important. Many times we're going to be judged by other people on how we dress, how we wear our hair, how we speak, how we walk. Everything about us becomes a way of people saying who we are. It's not always the right thing, because oftentimes you can have a pretty package and not have something very good on the inside. What we as Christians need to give is a good image on the outside, but also be filled with character on the inside. The prophet Isaiah says of the Israelites, and this is, of course, being applied to us as believers in Christ, "I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." It's kind of a tall order when you think about it, that we've been called by God to be a light to the nations, to bring his salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, last week we talked about the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan and the fact that by his own baptism, by his death and resurrection, he has transformed baptism into a sacrament that makes us something different, something new from the inside out, that we're not the sinful people that we once were before. We've become something altogether different in Christ. And St. Paul tells it to the Corinthians and, of course, to us today. "You have been sanctified," that is, you have been cleansed and purified in Christ Jesus, "and called to be holy," called to be holy, "with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," their God, their Lord, and ours. And then he gives us that beautiful wish, "grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." God gives us that grace. When we live in holiness and grace, then we live in peace. Peace, as you always hear me say, at peace within ourselves, at peace with God, and at peace with one another. So we've been called by God. We're here in this world to set a good example to others. An example of courage and patience. An example of honesty and generosity. To be truly good people, holy people, who truly care for the spiritual, moral, physical, and of course eternal good of other people. Does it mean that everybody's going to appreciate it when we try to live our faith? Of course not. There are times that we're going to find hatred and slander when we do the right thing. But we as Catholics have no other choice. We have no other choice than to be the bigger persons when confronted with hatred or slander or false accusations. Don't get me wrong, there are lots of people in the world, lots of non-Christians who are very religious people, and you have non-Christians who have no religion whatsoever, who for all sorts of their own reasons hate Christianity. It's true, it's out there. And they will stop at nothing to destroy it. Then sadly, there are even other Christians who hate the Catholic Church and think that it's their duty to quote-unquote save us, to save us Catholics from a false church that in their mind is leading other people to hell. Then, sadly, you have those quote-unquote Catholics who want to change everything inside the church. They want the church to change according to popular opinion or according to their own opinions, to get with the times and discord some of our ancient beliefs and practices that they think are unprogressive. But all of these people, as Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, do not really hate the Catholic Church. They hate the image, what they think is the Catholic Church. They see the Church many times as being kind of cold and domineering, oppressive, being backward and, of course, wrong. But once you come into the Church and you fully experience the truth, when you take a deeper, much more honest look, it reveals quite the opposite, that we are indeed the vehicle of God's grace, bringing truth and grace and salvation, grace and peace to the entire world, if we follow what Christ teaches us in and through his church, his body, of which we're all a part. When you get right down to it, people quite simply do not want to hear the truth. That's it. Why? Because truth carries with it responsibility. So people would rather be ignorant and irresponsible, or even rather be told lies and live in delusion, as long as they don't have to take responsibility for their actions. And that would be some of us too. Do we care to look out for others? Of course not. We get very selfish. And our favorite phrase then becomes, oh, it's none of my business what other people do. Okay? That's between them and God. It's not my business at all. Until it affects us personally in some way or another. Then we care. All of us make mistakes, individually and collectively. The church has made mistakes in the past. We know that. We're very well aware of some of the horrible things that happened in the past several decades dealing with crimes against children. But what do? When we see we've made a mistake? You acknowledge it. Admit guilt and wrong. You acknowledge it, and then you change. And the church has done that. When it comes to those crimes against children, we've acknowledged it, and now we're taking some very strict precautions, very strict guidelines, and etc., in dealing with children. Why? Because we realize that temptation and sin will always be there, but that temptation and sin can only be remedied by constant and cautious vigilance, by pointing out the sin, confessing guilt, repenting, and making reparations. That's what we need to do. We realize we've done some wrong, we admit it, we acknowledge it, confess it, and move on into grace. We call that the Christian life. But somehow, somewhere, someone has to point out and guide souls. That we're here to guide and protect souls, to teach persons, to assist one another in living grace, leading other people into truth and to Christ, into grace. That's our job. That's the church's job, all of us collectively. Our mission, our vocation. Every one of us is here to bring Christ to others, bring others to Christ, and to do all that we can to stop sins. Stop sins against human life. Stop sins against human dignity. We are here to stop sins against true marriage. We are here to stop sins against the family, against love and sexuality. We're here to stop the sins of greed and exploitation and destruction of God's creation. We're here to put an end to that. But very sadly, you see many times Catholics, prominent Catholics, from politicians to celebrities to people in the media, just the people here in our own families who do quite the opposite. We're here to take care of what God has made and given. Whether it's a human being or the earth itself, everything is to be seen as a gift. Every person seen as a gift to be loved and cared for and shared to the glory of God. To glory in that great gift of life, of love, and assist one another in living grace and holy, grace-filled and holy lives. But instead, what do? We follow the way of the world. We lie, gossip, cheat and steal, use other people for our own benefit, withholding wages, fair wages, put ourselves in unfair lawsuits. We continue to hide our sins in watching pornography, committing adultery, using filthy language, telling crude jokes, sleeping around, encouraging others to do such things, like marrying outside the church, divorce, shacking up, etc. Disregarding the church's teaching on birth control. We have multiple children with multiple fathers. We don't pray. We don't go to Mass on a regular basis. And we wonder why things are the way that they are. What are we doing to stop that? To add insult to injury, we come to church and we receive the sacraments unworthily. We fail to educate our children in the faith. We don't take them to Mass, which is kind of interesting. I see we have lots of folks who bring their kids to catechism or to a Catholic school, but then don't take their religion seriously. It just makes no sense. You know, the thrust of life is always about money, 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 success, 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 and then about fun, all kinds of fun and getting all kinds of stuff. Every Christian nation that has fallen into this temptation destroys itself. And our country is doing the same thing. It's committing spiritual suicide. And we can't do that. And it's very sad when we as Catholics are part of the problem and not part of the solution. Jesus reminds us that we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit and with fire. He has made you and me, every one of us, a light to the nations, a light to our brothers and sisters to come to know, love, and serve Christ, to experience the grace and peace that can come only from the Lord. If we try to eradicate sin, are we going to find opposition? Of course we will. If you look in the Gospels, every time Jesus performed an exorcism and was casting out a demon, what happened? The demons would shriek and scream and make all kinds of commotion. We use that term that, you know, somebody being carried out, kicking and screaming. That's exactly what they did when being cast out. The devil does not want to lose what little power he thinks he has and will do anything to claim it. But as St. Paul reminds us, thanks be to God who has given us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. So seek good. Seek what's good, what's right, what's true and holy. Be people of prayer. Attend Mass, receive the sacraments worthily. All of us being people of honor and respectability, responsibility, integrity, and character, to be people of faith and charity. Where do you and I stand before the face of God? Let's pray as the psalmist did. Here am I, Lord. I come to do your will.